How much does a prayer weigh? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, as we study this all-important subject of prayer again this morning, we want to ask you to help us to catch a new vision of what it means to talk with you, and help us, Lord, to understand what you have for us in thy word. And we thank you and praise you in the name of our dear, wonderful Savior, Jesus. Amen. I suppose that if we thought the Lord were coming tonight, there would be a lot of praying between now and then, wouldn't there? We might not even go home. We might just stay here until Jesus comes. I do believe in a solemn hour there ought to be a lot of praying, don't you? Be ye sober, therefore, and watch unto prayer, for the end of all things is coming upon us. 1 Peter 4:7. Well, some object, I don't really know how to pray. My prayers aren't answered. Well, some church members have told me this. So let's study this all-important question of prayer this morning. Now, there are different types of prayer. One of these is a public prayer, and I don't mean this depreciatingly, but I think that is the least important prayer of all. I remember one time driving through Kentucky years ago, and a certain preacher made a great impression on me as I tuned into his program. As that man prayed, he prayed as if he were waving a doctor's degree in the Lord's face. But friends, God's not interested in those wordy, high-sounding prayers that do not come from a humble heart. They don't mean a thing to him. Sometimes when people say they don't know how to pray, I answer, well, you don't seem to have any problem talking to me. Friends, you can talk to your Heavenly Father like you do to a dear friend. That's the personal prayer. That's the type of prayer that God is most interested in. Prayer that just comes right out from your heart, just pushing out from your heart to God as you would to a close friend. Now, there are other types of prayers such as week of prayer, prayer breakfast, prayer meeting, and prayer bands, where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name. He is there in their midst and is taking note of their petitions. Matthew 18:20. Now, there's another very important type of prayer that's called family worship. The old-fashioned name for it is a family altar. Now, that expression comes from the Old Testament plan of the evening and the morning sacrifice, where the father, as a spiritual leader, would gather the family around the altar, slay the sacrifice, and offer it to God. They gathered around the family altar for morning and evening sacrifice. So that came to be the term used when the family would gather together for family worship, reading scripture, singing, and praying together. Friends, I don't want anyone to do anything to give yourselves away. But I just want you to answer quietly in your heart. Did I have family prayer this morning before leaving home? Incidentally, this is a devil's world, you know. That's why it's being run after his pattern and not God's. Did you and your family take time this morning to have worship and talk to your Heavenly Father? Don't raise your hands or anything. Just think about that. I really believe that if parents would gather their children about them every morning and evening for prayer, there would not be so many straying children. It's tragic that so many so-called Christian homes hardly ever gather together for family worship. And then years later, they come to the pastor and they say, "Pastor, I don't know what's the trouble, but my son has wandered out into the world. My daughter has married a non-Christian and has given up everything. And yet I took them to church every week, and they really knew their memory verses. Help me, Pastor, please." What can a pastor say? Friends, bring your family to Jesus every morning and every evening, and they'll get the habit firmly fixed. And if you don't have children at home, husbands and wives do this. And if you learn to lean upon the family altar, your family members will not wander very far from their Lord. Now, the most important prayer of all is the private prayer. That's a prayer that our Heavenly Father really likes best. It's a place where there's no inquisitive ear listening in. It's a place where there is nobody else to hear what you have to say to God. Just in the closet, alone with God. And you know what? When the Bible says closet, you know, the closet really is a good place to go. It could be out under a tree, or it could be by a lake, or on the mountainside. It could be any quiet retreat where you can slip away and be alone with God. And I think you'll find out that this is the most precious type of prayer. In fact, I believe there's something special about having a definite place of prayer. Jesus had one, and he's our example. If it worked for Jesus, it'll work for us. It was a quiet place in the Garden of Gethsemane, the very place that would later mark his agony. This is where he'd go and commune with his Heavenly Father. Meeting with the multitude during the day and ministering to their needs just drained Jesus. And the very urgency of his own desperate need drove him to take time to pray. That's where he gained his strength to keep going. In the garden, he would talk things over with his Father and find guidance and direction for the next day. Friends, if you will only take a little time every morning and evening alone with God in prayer, you will never wander very far from your Heavenly Father's house. And you will surely find help and guidance in planning your days in harmony with God's perfect plan. Amen. Brothers and sisters, prayer is just conversation. Amen. Just talking over your cares, your joys, your sorrows, your headaches, your heartaches, and your needs with God as you would with your closest friend. So many times, we spill it all out and then run before God has a chance to answer back. Give God a chance to answer. He wants to talk to us. The Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice." If we give him a chance, we will hear his voice speaking to us. Now, I know that some people think prayer is tedious. But when you're talking with someone you love, does the time drag slowly by? No, it doesn't. I've had people call me on the phone, and literally, I could lay down on the couch and go to sleep, and wake up, and they'd still be talking. I mean, literally. It's happened to me. A dear, precious friend. When you're with a person that you love, or you enjoy your talking with, it's a time of joy, and a time of quiet peace with love, just filling your heart. You know that Zephaniah 3:17 tells us that God will joy over us with singing? Did you know that? How many people knew that God was going to sing to us? Okay, a number of you. Very good. Now, this has always been a beautiful thought to me. You know, I love music, but to think of God singing, I think that's wonderful, don't you? He's going to sing to us out of the joy of his heart. It's going to be the most beautiful hymn you ever could imagine. You cannot burden Jesus, my friends. You cannot worry him with your cares. Our Heavenly Father is interested in the little details of your life. Learn to talk it all over with him. Conversing with God is a very, very important lesson. You may have a great many burdens, a great many cares, but just take them all to Jesus. You know what a lady said to me one day? She'd wandered away from God, and when people wander away from God, they usually quit praying. I'd ask her how long it had been since she had prayed. She said, "Well, I usually pray whenever one of my children gets sick or if I get frightened about something." Now, isn't that a pity, my friends, to only use the Lord as a sort of a heavenly ambulance when a loved one gets smitten by Satan in this world of sin? Lord, I need help. Can you rush a heavenly ambulance quickly and bring aid to my loved one? Now, that's not quite fair, is it? We ought to always keep the channel of communication open between heaven and us. Let God be accustomed to always hearing your voice. And then when an emergency arises, you can just turn naturally to your Heavenly Father as the flowers turn to the sun. And if you notice the little flowers every morning, they usually face the sun. And as the sun goes up overhead, the flowers just keep looking at the sun until it goes down in the west. And the flowers end up turning to the west. Nature teaches us many blessings in how to come to God and know what He does when we come to Him. We can always say, Father, here's a problem that's come up. It's urgent. I'm desperate. Can you help me? And He knows your voice. It's not a strange voice to Him. And He's happy to come to you in your special need with emergency aid for you or your dear one. Believe me, my friend, it works. I know it does. John 10, verse 27 and 28 says, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And not anyone shall pluck them out of my hand. Now that never perish means a second death. It's not talking that we're never going to die the first death. It means we will not die the second death, but we will be saved eternally in heaven. And nobody can pluck us out of God's hands when we're in that condition. Friends, prayer is a privilege. It's not a duty. Prayer is not a duty. When Mother's Day came around, I used to give my mother something. Thank you, son, but you really didn't have to do this. Well, Mother, I did it because I felt it was my duty. Now, if I would have said that, how do you suppose my dear mother would have felt? She would probably said, Son, don't do it anymore. Oh, friends, is it my duty to do a thing like that? And yet individuals say, Well, I guess I should go to church today. It's my duty to go. That's like bringing a lame offering to God. It's my duty to pray. It's my duty to study my Sabbath school lesson. It's my duty to go to prayer meeting. It's my duty to go to church. Friends, it's not our duty. It is our privilege. It's a privilege to do these things. Isn't our attitude sometimes terrible when we really think about it? When we think of all that God does for us, He gives us food, sunshine, and air, and He doesn't charge us a penny for it. That's wonderful, isn't it? I'll tell you, if some businessman had a patent on the air in this world, we'd have to pay quite a price to get our share of oxygen every month. There'd be a lot of people out of breath because they couldn't pay their air bill. It's wonderful what Jesus does. He opens His hands freely and gives to all, to the good and to the bad alike. Matthew 5:45. Our God is a wonderful God, isn't He? People despise and they disown Him, yet He still gives them daily blessings. Isn't it a shame when we do things, when we say we do things as a duty to God? I think we should consider prayer a privilege, for it's wonderful to get in touch with the eternal God, our Heavenly Father. It's a joy to talk to Him. And it's a joy when He brings to your attention while you're praying, when you give Him a chance to answer back. Bible texts. He'll flash a text right into your mind if you give Him a chance. And not only that, but He'll even speak to you. Now, the first time you try it, if you don't hear anything, keep practicing, because sometimes our ears are so tightened up that we can't hear that it takes a while for us to quieten down to where we can hear. Because the Bible says God's not in the whirlwind. He's in the still, small voice. When you whisper, you have to be quiet to hear what He's saying. Now, there's another problem in prayer. There are individuals going around feeling pretty sad, saying, God does wonderful things for some people. He hears their prayers and they get such blessings, but when I pray, I don't get anything. What's the trouble with me? Well, let me illustrate this. Well, an illustration, if I may. Over here is a fountain, a bubbling fountain of fresh, cool water. One person comes up to that fountain bringing a 10-gallon bucket. He fills that with fresh, flowing, bubbling water, and he goes away carrying a large load of life-giving water. Another comes along with a gallon can, and that's all he carries away. Another person comes along and all he has is a little half-pint cup. He comes to the fountain, and just a second, his cup is full, and he goes away with his tiny supply of water, wondering why he only has a cup full. Now, friends, what is the difference? It's simply that one took a large container which could be filled with more. The person took only a tiny container with a little cup, it could only hold a little bit. When a person has only a little faith in God, he only receives little blessings. Jesus says, "Be it to you according to your faith." Now, when a person just opens their heart and says, "Here, Father, is all the sin, all the impurities in my life. I empty myself for you." Then the Holy Spirit can fill that person's life to the fullest. So some people do get an awful lot more. You see, the more we're willing to empty our hearts of self, the more God can fill us with His blessings. And another thing is, the more one gives of himself to the Lord's service, the more he or she needs special blessings. Luke 6:38 says, "The more one gives, the more one receives to give." Friends, most praying is a one-way affair. That's why I prayed for years, in spite of it all. God blessed me, but He was able to bless me more when I learned how to pray. We often come and talk with the Lord and then don't wait for Him to answer back. "Lord, what should I do?" Zip, gone. If we would just wait a while at the end of our prayers, listening to hear what the Lord would tell us, we would hear Him speaking to our voice, to our hearts. We would hear His loving voice calling to us. Learn to pray and learn to listen to God's answer. Learn to let Jesus have time with your heart and do a little bit of talking to you. You might be surprised at what He'll tell you. I think you will find really sweet communion and joy in doing that. Now, there are conditions to having our prayers answered. When I pray, I must be willing to let God's will be done. I must be willing to surrender my own selfish desires. That's part of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10. "Thy will be done." Do you find that a hard part to pray? Sometimes God's will might be for us to be crucified. It might not be what we particularly look forward to. But God has a reason for all of it. Romans 8:28. "All things work together for good." All things work together for good to those who love God. You know, we have our own selfish viewpoint, and we feel the urgency of our need and our request. But to add, "Lord, Thy will be done." You do whatever you think is best. It's very hard to do sometimes, isn't it? And yet, that's part of an answer, getting our prayers answered. A little child sees a sharp knife on the table and says, "Daddy, Daddy, can I have that?" What does the father do? He pushes the knife further back on the table, out of the reach of a child. Why does he do that? To keep him from having it, from hurting themselves, right? Because knives can ruin little babies' eyes. There are a good many Christians praying for things that may not be good for them. And when their Heavenly Father pushes it out of their reach, they say, "Why doesn't God answer my prayer?" You'd be amazed at the amount of times I have people tell me those things. Friends, there are many things we may not have in our lives because God sees best to withhold them. As I said a few minutes ago, my favorite text is Romans 8:28. "All things work together for good to those who love God and called according to His purpose." Now, another part of prayer is, "Give us this day our" what? "Our daily bread." Matthew 6:11. Do you know how many people are wording their prayers? "Lord, give us this day our ice cream and cake." Now, there are people who are praying for cake, And God only promised bread. There are people who are praying for lemonade. God only promised them pure water. Then you're praying for cream.